so we had this idea that we really love world music, but we realized that for most of us, you know, in Holland or in England, when we hear it, it's not very easy to listen to it. It will never be played on the radio, and it's just quite difficult. But there are some individuals, you know, this singer in Africa like Baba Mal, or this drummer in India, or this, when you get them on their own, not in a group, just, and you put it in a musical context which is more digestible, then everybody suddenly really goes, oh, fucking hell, Baba Mal is amazing, oh my God. And we really get blown away by some of these musicians that we have been listening to. And we were desperate to show everybody in the world how great they are, you know, put them in a place where you just can't miss it, you know. And then, so the idea we had was that we created 12 pieces of music, and they were quite developed pieces of music. And we used a lot of samples, you know, of a tabla player from India or a string player from China. Then we thought to ourselves, we don't really want to have, we want to have the real thing. So let's go to India and find the tabla player and get rid of the sample. Does everyone know what sample is? The fake, you know, the stolen thing. And so the whole idea began as a way to replace all the different things that we'd stolen. But then we met so many more incredible people, and everybody we met said, oh, you must work with this one and that one. And Duncan, my partner, who's not here, he made the laptop studio and the cameras and the little mixing desk. There was a special way that he built them so that they did not need electricity, just batteries. They have these journalist battery belts that they have for cameras. So we could run the recording studio in the desert in India for 8 hours, very happily. So when we met these crazy Rajasthani musicians in a group under the tree with the shepherd walking past, and we just set the studio up right there and then and film. And we would put the headphones on them, and they would hear one of our tracks, and then they'd hear another one. And then when they'd hear one, they'd go, oh, and they'd grab their instrument, they start going, oh yeah, I like that. And they quick roll the cameras, put the microphone in. But then the next week when we would get to Thailand, the musician there would hear the song, and they'd hear the piece of music, but they would also hear the drummer that we just did in India. And so he gets his drum, and he plays with it, and he plays a different kind of thing than he usually does, maybe. And the singer in Ghana, and the, you know, and it goes on and on. And we went to Senegal, Ghana, Uganda, South Africa, Kenya, 2.5 months in India, all over. Also Nepal and Sikkim up in the north, which is Thailand and Southeast Asia, Australia, New Zealand, America. And these tracks, by the time we reached Michael Stipe's back garden in Georgia, that we really had something fucking amazing for him to hear, you know, it would become, and each of these 12 pieces of music were really becoming, you know, something extraordinary. And you only ever had 1 or 2 hours with somebody, so it was very spontaneous. There's not that feeling, in a recording studio as a musician, you have like a red light when you're recording, and it can ruin the whole performance because you have the red light anxiety. Red light fever, they call it, where it fucks up all the performances because everyone knows this is the take, this is the one that's going on the album. But when you're in somebody's hut in Uganda, or when you're in somebody, even in Michael Stipe, if you're in his garden, he just doesn't have the mentality, or Robbie Williams' front room, you know, they don't have the thought that this is something special, so everyone relaxes and does something really good. Okay, so that was the beginning concept of what we wanted to do.